Inside Nigeria, keeping you informed on what matters.
Hello, good morning and welcome to Inside Nigeria on Leadership Podcast. My name is Taka David, your host on today's edition of the Inside Nigeria. Inside Nigeria is a TV program where we do justice to some of the biggest stories that made headlines. And we need to do justice to some of these stories is the public affairs analyst, Mr. Sheriff Dean Abiola. Sheriff, welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
This segment of Inside Nigeria, like I said, is where we try to make meaning of some of the biggest stories that made headlines for the page. I will be looking at some of the major headlines, these major on major newspapers. We'll be selecting a few, then we'll allow Mr. Sheriff to do justice to them and try to make meaning out of the big stories. Beyond just giving you the stories, he will try to explain and give you the implications on what those stories mean to the politics.
All right.
We'll start with our in-house paper, The Leadership. And the biggest story we have is on politics, where the aspirants from the All Progressive Congress, aspirants from the Southeastern region, are aggrieved. And the headline is Presidential Primary Fallout. We are aggrieved, but we remain in APC. That's according to Amechi, Bonayono, and Wajo. What is your take on that at this point where, you know, we already know the APC is having, the PDP is having its own internal crisis.
Yes,
and
yes.
Now, this is an indication that yes. All is not well in the European Union. What is your take on that?
Good morning, Nigerians, and good morning, leadership. I thank you once again for bringing me up here. Something that is expected when election is coming up.
Really?
You know, the two or three sides of these political parties, they're having their issues. APC is a ruling party. And to me, they are trying to consolidate on what they have on ground. Yeah, Amechi, Ogunayahono, and the likes
and they are all from the Southeastern region.
They are all from the Southeastern region. These are key men that have been with the APC for years. Though they also came to PDP, I mean APC from PDP.
I don't think Ogunayahono is.
Okay.
He's a
party loyalist. Apart from Amechi. And these guys have done wonderfully well, especially Amechi, former Minister of Transport. Mm-hmm. The party needs to hold them tight because these are resources for them. They should not do anything that will make them leave the party because they have a lot to contribute, especially in the Southeast, in the South. Do you get it now?
Yeah.
These are resources. If they make mistakes, I know more this political, like Tinubu and the likes of them, they are trying to romance other people from other parties. But the one they have as an insider, as a resource, they should maintain them. Whatever they will do to make peace, you know, between the party and these people is very important.
So to you, what are their grievances? Are the grievances justified?
This is politics. This is politics. Everybody wants to be ready.
Because I remember in the build-up of these primaries, there was no consensus from the Southeast. There was no consensus. They were about five that contested. Rochas.
Rochas and
the lady. There was one female candidate amongst them. There were five.
Exactly.
And they all contested. They went to the poll like that.
Exactly.
Five. So,
yes, we can't castigate them.
But you know, a lot of people stepped down for other candidates, but they never did.
No. In democracy, this is democracy. We should give everybody fair, you know, hearing and fair chance. Do you get it?
So you think they negotiated well?
So for them coming out to contest in the primary election has nothing to do with being taken as a scapegoat. Yes, because it threatened the democracy. You know, there before then, there were these rumors, you know, they are doing it, they are not doing it. And at the end of the day, they did it. And it was fair. Everybody, they televised it, everybody saw it. So it was a good attempt in my own part, in my own view. It was a good attempt. So the PDP and the APC should, you know, consolidate on that. Because for them having the freedom, and everybody sees that APC gave everybody equal opportunity to contest. So they just need to settle the differences. I expected that immediately after the primary, you know, it's no victor, no vanquished. It should be no victor. But I expected that the presidency would also give Amaechi the minister back, because he started a very good work. He should have continued. So maybe it could be one of the reasons.
But what about the Electoral Act? Is there any provision that says you can contest and come back?
Why not? He has contested and lost. You know, ministerial appointment is just an appointment. It's not an elective. So I was expecting that Amaechi should continue. Then you understand that there are kind of romance between APC and Wike. You know, meeting upon meeting. So that if I'm Amaechi, it could be one of the reasons why I'm aggrieved. Because you just look, you want to romance my brother, which we have not been in good times politically. So they have to apply wisdom. In this case of Amaechi, I mentioned Amaechi because I know
you're specific about Amaechi.
I'm specific because he's a big fish amongst all of them. So the APC needs to be very careful about him. He's my man.
Oh
yes.
Now I understand why you're so defending him.
Yes.
But looking at the whole team, okay, so that's left for the party to know how they can put their house in order. We'll now move to some other dailies and see the biggest stories that they have. Let's go to National Economy and our sister publication and see the leading story. And the biggest story here is about electricity. Nigeria's electricity woes continue as value chain disconnect pervades sector. Stakeholders list fund. This is serious.
Fundamental.
Stakeholders need fundamental reforms, heavy investments, others as panacea.
Right.
You know, the issue of electricity, we've had a series of promises. Several governments have rolled to power with the promise of getting our electricity improved, stabilizing it, and all that. But at the end of the day, we don't really see we don't get to see the promise. So this time around, this government who promised us stable electricity. This is the eighth year. We have not gotten that too. And then this story is now telling us our woes will continue.
Definitely. The woes will continue.
After years of investment.
The woes will continue. Because it's just like we are laying foundation, we are building on already collapsed system. Initially, I don't know any other strong NEPA. We used to know NEPA. And up to tomorrow, it is still NEPA. They can use any acronyms or whatever.
This year, they call it this year.
Immediately, they privatized NEPA. I think there was a power holding.
From NEPA to power holding.
Then they were holding the power, now power distribution and power. Because the fundamentals are not met. Those that they sold the rights of distribution of the electricity, are they the right persons? Are they not the people who don't know anything about electricity? Now, the cabals.
Is that not part of the Nigerian syndrome?
Yes, the cabals around this electricity, who are they? Then the remittance, the management of this distribution line, how have they been managing it? We cannot, I don't see anything reasonable coming out of it. Now, up to now, Nigeria cannot generate up to about 5,000 megawatts in a year. Up to now, look at South Africa, even look at some other countries around Nigeria, like Togo, Cotonou, they have stable electricity. In Nigeria, it's not that we cannot get it right, but the system is not strong enough to call people to order. And that is why we keep moving back and forth.
So we have individuals who are stronger than the system.
It is, you see, what I recommend to people is that Nigerian as a country, it's obvious that we cannot manage our resources. We need technocrats. I don't care where the technocrats come from.
Are you telling us we don't have good hands within the country who can do this thing?
My brother, we have. Okay. But what is their percentage? As long as this blood called Nigerian blood is still running in every one of us, there will always be problem. I expect, okay, for example, you know these are our roads. They contract out some to external, you know, expatriates. Do you get it? And they are building solid road. Why can't we, you know, contract it out to people like that? And we sit back and, you know, regulate them.
But we have a lot of Nigerians in the diaspora who are working for some of these people. Are they doing well?
You mean they are Nigerians?
If Nigerians can go abroad, perform wonders, why can't we do it within our country?
The thing is that you can, everybody, when you go to abroad, if you leave Nigerian shore to, you know, other people's land, Nigerians behave themselves. And systems are working there. So, but here,
so that
it's
means
a syndrome.
We need a government that we stand firm.
When we say we need government, we are our government.
So why are we not getting it right?
No, I don't know. No, this is like a virus that needs to be.
If a government can hold its own citizens firm to do something, why can't we do it?
Honestly, I don't understand why we still behaving this way. Maybe there's need for us. I now believe one of my brothers, you know, his campaign is about character reformation, character education. I think we need to educate ourselves. There are a lot of graduates, but no good character. So how do
the certificates, anytime you receive a certificate, it is awarded in character and learning.
And learning.
So if there's no character, who should we blame?
My brother.
The institutions or who?
My brother, we all know.
Because the certificate is in character and learning. It's not just learning.
My brother, we all know that we are just deceiving ourselves in this country. Truth must be told. We are deceiving ourselves. The certificate we are carrying, the piece of paper we are carrying, we have value for it. Now, I'm sorry to digress, the ASUU has been on strike for months.
We'll come to the ASUU strike.
Okay, so back to electricity. The thing we still keep repeating, in my village where I come from, for almost 6 months now, the light has been erratic, has been epileptic. So what is happening?
And we have a lot of villages without electricity.
Without electricity, even Abuja. Yeah,
but there's budget for most of the for rural electrification.
Even Abuja, do you know the worst of it? This is our government. Go to their various seat of power. You see constant electricity supply. You get it now. So how would they know that there's no light in their neighborhood? How would they know that there's light? There's no light in other places.
Who gives them that electricity? Both of us.
It's our own electricity, but they divert most of what we're supposed to their own areas alone.
Nobody questions. Because the people benefiting don't see anything wrong with it.
Honestly, if you bring a messiah, somebody from another country, or the best in this country to come and do it, if the necessary things are not put in place, the right people, because you know it goes down the line. Just like a pyramid. It goes down the line, you see this corrupt-minded.
In a nutshell, it is not that we don't have people. We don't have the capacity. We don't have the political will.
So we don't have the political will. Now,
we don't have the political
will. Let me give us this. If you want lights to work, let them stop importing generating sets. Once governments banned the importation of generating sets, I bet you with you, the light will be restored.
Well, you need to make some investments before you do that.
We have the investment
already. Because there are times you hear we have generated, but we don't have the capacity to transmit.
They don't have the capacity. What do they mean by that?
They've said it several times.
What are they doing?
They've said it several times.
Allocations of monopoly allocations. What are they? It's because of
where is the money going?
It's because of the human element.
Issue of accountability. It's what we lack. Who should hold them accountable? We have a lot of security agents who are being paid to do this job, but they are not doing their job.
Until we have to, all of us need to wake up to come back. Inasmuch and when they say I pledge to Nigeria, my country, when you read these very beautiful lines, are we following it?
Who should hold us accountable if we are not doing that?
So,
I think we have an agency that is supposed to follow up and make sure you see, when you pledge
this agency
do it when you don't do it, but are the agencies themselves doing it? What is the process of recruitment of people who are supposed to be even trying to enforce this?
There is a lot of problem here. There's a lot of problem. We're just praying that God will.
And our problem, it starts from our recruitment process.
Recruitment process, you know.
We don't have the best hands.
Who are the people leading us? Who are the people leading us? It starts from the head. If the head is bad, it affects the entire body. So
this is a sad reality for Nigeria.
Honestly,
as a nation.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
All right, well, let's look at the next dailies. And we'll look at some of their biggest stories and see. Now we're looking at the Punch newspaper, which says, at the biggest story here says, FG may lose 7.58 trillion to contract disputes damages. This is a very serious one. FEM demands $2.3 billion for alleged Mandela contract breach. But we're still talking about electricity. This is the same. You know, this Mandela project is something that has to do with us strengthening our power sector.
Exactly.
And we just finished talking about the national economy.
The national economy.
And now, this one is bringing the facts, those things that will make us not to achieve those things. Yeah. And the Vice Fresh $400 million steel dollar suit. Most cases against government due to officials' negligence, poor handling, says SARS. Buhari administration has capacity to overturn cases against the government, that's according to the AGF office. And we just finished discussing some of those, but you can still see the amount of money we're talking about.
The truth is that virtually everything.
These contracts, you said they were awarded to incompetent.
Yeah.
People with lack of knowledge.
Of knowledge.
And you talked about technocrats. It's not that we don't have them. We have a lot of Nigerians doing well.
Okay.
And we in fact, we train and give to other countries. Why can't we make it work in our own life?
You know, all these stories, all these things are awarding of contracts. To me, it's a scam.
But we have an agency that's supposed to look after that.
We have an agency. See, let's not even mention the agency, because each time I hear this agency, you know, it's saddening my heart.
But they are created by an act.
My heart.
And they have a mandate.
My heart bleeds whenever you mention agencies. Look at these agencies around. I don't know what they are doing. You have ministries, we have departments, we have agencies. Many politicians just create these agencies, you know, to siphon public treasure. There are many agencies around that you can't even, you don't know what they are doing. And they have allocation every month. You know, I have,
if they are not adding value, why should we keep them?
You see, this electricity of the thing that we are talking about, there is one agency on the water and electricity. When I saw their bank, I said, this one now, some people are eating from this one now. So those agencies that are supposed to regulate, they are also part of them. What they are interested in is money. How do they share money? So this one, Nigeria may lose 7.583. You see, they just call figure. Trillion, 7.58 trillion. Amount that can transform the life of every citizen in this country. How did they arrive to that amount? That Nigeria may lose such amount?
Contract disputes. You know, there are a lot of issues. Your award.
We keep appealing to our fathers because we can't continue this way. If they truly love this country, if they truly love their children, they should know that one day their children will come back. One day.
But most of these people send their children abroad.
That's what I'm saying now. It's because the abroad is settled. They have a system there that can cater for everybody, whether you're a citizen or not citizen. Now, why can't we replicate that here? We don't have any other place to go. This is our country. This is our Nigeria. We need to build on it. Are they waiting till when we have another NSAS or what have you, SAS? We have people very tired and they want to, you know, take law into their hands, reinforce themselves and, you know. So we shouldn't, the government needs to do the needful. They should encourage, the issue of allocating, you know, some funds on contracts. One, is it fair? Are we giving the contract? Are they giving the contract to the right people? Who are those people managing them? If this cannot be, you know, resolved or understood, we are going nowhere.
But the law says we bid for those contracts, and someone has to check and make sure whoever gets the contract is qualified. And when they fail to do, what are we supposed to do?
We see it's from the what do you call it? From the bidding process, awarding of process, bidding process. I re-emphasize from the bidding process. People are supposed to bid for the contract,
of course.
And the most qualified are supposed to be given.
Yes.
Now, the question is that, are they giving the contract to the right people? Or they are giving the contract to their own people? Somebody that cannot do, they just, you know, open a company. No, they just do one
about a pseudo company, no name, no address.
And they award the contract to it. See, our procurement hacks in this country need to be looked into. And that is the main problem.
Procurement hacks.
If we can make procurement hacks, you know, reasonable and firm and give room, just like when you write jam now. So every contractor is free to submit their applications. And then they will write the exam. They will do inspection. If they can do that freely, I think our problem will be after, because now everybody is a contractor. Because that's where they're getting the money from. Politicians, they are contractors. Retired politicians, they are contractors. So I'm still repeating it. That procurement act, if you can look into the way we procure contracts in this country, I think we have to go a long way. And that will solve
most of our problems. Is our problem.
Because, yes, that's just the better truth. So procurement act. But they won't want it to work because everybody's a politician. Once you leave the office, you become a contractor. I know so many SA, former ministers, former governors, they have their own
pseudo
companies. So where do we go from here? And you want result? You can't get result out of it because we are not doing it right. Until when we give the contract to the right people who can deliver the job. But we are so selfish and greedy. That is the problem.
I don't even think we are being selfish. Because if you are being selfish, you should be doing something that will benefit you or your generation. But most of these contracts are supposed to benefit you. But you end up shortchanging it with your own future generation. So it's just being foolish.
Because we're just being foolish. Because we are wicked. Our leaders are wicked. They are traveling abroad. They are seeing how their system is. And they cannot, every day they travel a lot. Over weekends they travel. And they cannot reason that some people out there, they laid foundation for their economy, some sacrifice, and that is why they have the privilege to travel abroad to enjoy their money. Why can't we do that here? Because we don't have vision for the country. We are not interested in about the youth. If we are interested in about the youth, our children will not be at home for over 6 months, and government is watching, is looking, and not doing anything. For you to know that we don't have fish.
That means we actually need to look at our value orientation. That's what we need to do.
Value orientation.
That's what we need to do.
If you know the number.
The mindset of an average Nigerian is just to make money.
Just to make money.
Because that's what the system has taught you.
You know how many people live in Nigeria every day on daily basis?
Because a lot of them cannot get jobs. I know of a friend who the family had to contribute money to send abroad.
But what did they do?
Because he has graduated and no job for a very long time. And so the suit.
Our government should please assist us so that we have a brief of life. We are just existing in this country. We need to live. This country, our children, everybody is running to. One day to be contested.
And they will start sending them back.
And they'll start sending them back.
Maybe that's when that's when we'll have revolution in this country. Because when they come back with the ideas and everything.
When they send them back and there's nothing to fall on, then the problem continues. Why not rebuild our system?
Maybe that's when we'll realize that we need to fix our culture. Because when they come back with the ideas, that's when
nobody will fix for us, it's we. They should allow the youth.
So when they come back with the idea, of course the youth.
They should allow the youth to fix the country. I think these men, come on, they are.
Oh, this is the electioneering.
They are. They should please leave the system.
They should leave the stage. They should take a bow.
They should take a bath. Let the youth continue. Let's look at from where we stop.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts on that. Let's look at the next thing. And we still have another thing in the hands of big students that we're going to. So you were eager about talking about ASUU strike, and I said, hold on, we're coming to that. I was looking at the Nation newspaper, and the biggest story here is, the lead story is on ASUU, after 210 days after, federal government asked courts to stop ASUU strike. And there's a rider to that. You were eager about talking about ASUU strike. 210 days, we kept our youth at home. These are people, when they go for jobs, you expect them to be below 25 to be recruited as freshers. But you've kept them, they've wasted almost, how many months?
Thank you very much. It's disheartening my heart whenever I see this situation. It's what me and you, virtually everybody in this country has, you know, undergone.
Yeah, I remember I spent six months at home.
You have to spend additional 1 year for you to be at least additional 1 year before you become a graduate in this country. This is unfortunate. And these are the youth of tomorrow. These are the future leaders. But we have killed them right there in the school.
Demoralize them.
Can you imagine you leave a child at home, let's say a puppy, primary or secondary, you leave him at home for like a time or two times, not going to school. At that tender age, how much more a grown-up child who is in grad, which is expecting, whose anticipation is high, that okay, once he transits from that bridge, he's going to become a irresponsible father or mother. But you have killed his morale, you have wasted his life, wasted his energy. So what are we talking about? So it is unfortunate that our government does not have this humility. They do not have this flair. They do not have this vision. They are not cared about the youth. And that's why the things still keep repeating itself. Our teachers, our lecturers, they should consider them, because they are the ones teaching our youth, our children. Now, my appeal to us, we all know in this country that most of the lecturers today, we know that majority of us, let me, it's a bit of truth, do not have quality education. Many of us are half-baked, even quarter-baked, or 1/8. When I was in university, my best teacher then, my best lecturer, was saying he is a half-baked student or lecturer, that we are celebrating him, you know. Then, how many years ago, over 20 years, was saying, you these people, I don't know what will become of you. If he accepted, admitted that he's half-baked, as I did. Now, what is the quality of education right now? Are they not going there to just, you know, while away their time? What are the lecturers teaching? These lecturers are demanding for the payment of their salary before they use. I want to believe that government has been able to meet about 80% of their demand. I think the only thing that is causing them...
Are their demands out of place? Asking to...
Yes and no.
Because you're talking about students being half-baked, and they're trying to strengthen the system so that they can produce...
You see, my brother.
Graduates who have the skills to be employed.
My brother, sincerely, all these things they are agitating for, after the government has met their demand, and that's all, the lecturers, do they really have the interest of the students at heart, or their own interest? If they want to fight, the one that we have been fighting all this while, I can't remember, over 20 or 30 years ago, they have been fighting. What has it led us to? we keep repeating the same thing. We have been going back and forth, back and forth.
What you're saying, I remember some of the lecturers, one of their cases about funding the educational system. You know, you go to somebody will tell you he has read mechanical engineering. They want a situation where they have all it takes. Someone has read chemistry, has never seen most of the chemicals they're supposed to use to carry out practical experiments. So what do you expect? And the lecturer is now telling you, I need these things to be able to teach my students. Is that out of place?
Thank you very much. It is not out of place. But the money government has been allocating to the tertiary institutions,
is that enough?
What are they been using the money for?
Who should hold them accountable? Is the government actually holding them accountable?
Government has given them.
Of course, in your house, when you give money for anybody to run your home, you ask for the person to give account.
Very good.
Is the government doing that?
Very good. If government is not there, government will have reposed confidence in them as a teacher. Teachers are not cheaters. They expect that this fund will be used, will be utilized judiciously, being the nature of the profession they have. Teachers should not be cheaters. The money that have been allocating to the schools, what is the management or what are the management of the school using the money for? We have the ETF fund, we have the PTF fund. What are they using the money for?
They use it to build the structures. I remember when you go to some of the campuses.
Go to schools. Yeah. You see, we have to balance this thing. If you are saying government, our lecturers, our school should also check themselves, because the corruption is everywhere. Government is also trying their best to inject some money there. But no, they use the money. You see the blanketed structures in the schools. The teachers are not ready, the lecturers are not ready to enter the class, because some of them also consult for private institutions. And that's why we are not good. But you know why they are doing that? Because they know even their politicians, they are the bed of the same feather. Okay, this is their own domain. So they also need to do whatever they want to do with the money. And that's why we are not seeing progress. The answer should at least they come to the meeting. Let them resume work. Instead of them taking themselves to the court, that means there is no hope anyway. The two parties, both the government and the ASU, becoming irresponsible. And when two elephants are fighting,
it is the grass that are suffering.
So instead of the student and the youth of this country, they should bury their hatchet. They should come, you know, they should forget about it. There's no harm. For the interest of the children, if you have your money now, you can go to private institution and get best of education. But our public sector, which is meant for public goods, which is meant for common people, the ASU. Because once they resume tomorrow,
can the child of an average Nigerian attend a private university?
He cannot, and that's why I always advocate that in this country.
It is still the politicians that still send their children to those private universities.
That's why I'm saying in this country, what we need is that the university is not meant for everybody. Go to NCE. NCE, you only hear that NCE has issues. You get that? 3 years, you finish your course, then you learn some skills. Then you become a teacher, or you do some other things. Go to polytechnics. But university, everybody wants. What are a university is not meant for everybody. Get substantial knowledge that will help you in your business pursuit, and that's all. So it is obvious now. Everybody is realizing that university system in the country is failing up. So our children should not waste their resources. Parents should always their resources. University, because this will continue, except you go to private university or you go abroad. So I encourage people, go to polytechnic, go to SC, finish your, then have a skill acquisition work, then continue your life.
Okay, that means you're one of the advocates of there's this dichotomy between there's a serious issue between polytechnic certificates, HND. And BSc. So you advocate that you should be placed on the same kind
of... Ordinarily, in universities. Universities are supposed to have all these things, you know, all these resources, whereby you have the resources to work with. It's only meant for people that do researches. That government, they spend much money in researches. Do you get it now? It's meant for research. Polytechnics, monotechnics, they are there to use their hands. And that is what we need most in this country.
Mind you, our technical schools are almost going into extinction.
And that is why the economy is bad. That is why we cannot produce. Because our technical schools has gone to the basket. It has not even been faded away. Our monotechnics, our polytechnics, where we're supposed to invest majorly. That's the bedrock of development. When people use their hand, their initiative to work, to create things, not because just go to school and doing one research or the other. The researches our children are doing in school, what are they using? How many? The one you did in your school.
It's not somewhere.
Do you even remember what you researched?
Of course.
You remember what you said? Many researches, when you go to many departments, you see projects piled up. Projects are not meant to just occupy space in departments. The projects are the ones that you want to invest on and want to see what you have. But we are just doing what my brother, we all know we are deceiving ourselves. Let government, you know, turn a little, create a better opportunity for people to use their head and hands to create things in polytechnics. Forget about university.
So we need to fund, but we have a lot of artisans in Nigeria who need funds, but most times the bottlenecks involved, even if they tell you there's this fund meant for artisans, getting those funds becomes a problem. So we have a lot of things to strengthen.
We are producing unrecruitable youths, unrecruitable graduates. So we should stop deceiving ourselves. At the end of the day, they go and serve and say they are teaching them skill as Christian.
In how many months? I remember
NYC.
I remember rejecting to UNC.
And at the end of the day, because of the brain damage, because we do not use our brain, people will be tamed. Over their, you know, their minds will be okay. I would like to graduate. But when you graduate, you have wasted your time. The number of years that you're supposed to use productively to create something, to produce something, at the end of the day, wasted, become tired, become unreasonable. Now, nobody is ready to recruit because you have nothing to offer. And that is why we are saying.
But why is it that those same people will say have nothing to offer when they leave the shores of this country? They offer something to the country.
Yeah, because they government, they integrate them to the system. They have their own system and they cannot do anything anyhow. And already the atmosphere is good for them to reason. If you have ever traveled abroad, the way you reason there is different from the way you reason here. Once you land from abroad to Nigeria, in fact, that will automatically switch back into your into your blood or sense.
Honestly. Oh, interesting. All right, we'll look at another thing. We are looking at the Vanguard newspaper, and the biggest story here says Nigeria going through darkest history. That's according to Catholic bishops. Nigeria suffering extreme poverty, unemployment, soaring inflation. Lament insurgency, banditry, herdsmen, militancy, kidnapping. That's according to the Catholic bishops. And you know, the issue of soaring inflation is one thing that affects all of us. The Catholic bishops are crying out. Okay, first of all, do you agree with the Catholic bishops?
Yes,
passing through this?
Yes, I agree with him totally. But no, if there's another thing that is most qualified than the darkest, we say that is what we are passing through right now. If there's another qualification than being darkest, I think we should use it. Because it will continue like this until Nigerians wake up from slumber, until we say enough is enough. That is true.
Who should you say enough to?
To the government. To the government. Because people are dying every day. You know, kidnappers, banditry. Why? Because there is no justice. Because there's no justice anymore. So until when we, as a country, as a youth, rise up to occasion, we are not saying, I'm not advocating for that youth use violence. But we can form a formidable force. It is like that's happening.
I think we need to go politically.
We need to go political. Because these guys,
the grassroots,
these big guys,
the system seems to be hijacked.
These big guys, they will not allow the youth. Because if they were allowed the youth, we should have known. Now, look at those people contesting and in all the parties. How old are they?
They are still recycling themselves.
The retired, not tired legs. When somebody is saying until when he leaves, let him get there first. So when he leaves, then youth can come. Look at that statement. Now, meaning the youth go and see that. So how? My brother, this is quite unfortunate. This is quite disheartening. And the youth have seen that there may not be. You know, there is no hope for them. They're hopeless. But I keep telling people we shouldn't relent. We should not relent. Because if we relent, it's as if we are cowards. It's as if we cannot determine our fortune, our destiny by ourselves. These are our fathers that are over 80, over 90, that are still at the helm of affair. I believe with prayer, when we are striving, let's just continue with our struggle. One day, we will get there. By mistake, by accident or incident, they will drop. And the youth will take over. It's just unfortunate that
mind you, most of these guys are grooming their children to take over. Not that they want it to go to any other country.
Historically, in so many places, in so many countries, it has happened. We believe in God. We serve God. And God is he who brings, he who gives authority to whoever he deserves. So, and nothing lasts, nothing is permanent. One day, the power will be shifted. You know, it's something that is natural. One day, power will be shifted from them, whether they like it or not, whether they're trying to bring their children on board or not, they will lose it one day. So, the youth should not relent. They should not lose hope. Let's just keep, you know. Another thing about the youth is that it's unfortunate that most of our youths, most of us too, we have lost the consciousness because of poverty. We allow, you know, people to use us, you know, for unjust cost. So it's as a sort of poor quality education, of lack of quality education. But I believe we still have few, if not many, amongst us that believe that we can work. I mean, things can work in this country. And I believe if we can come together as one family all over the country and say enough is enough. The indication, look at answers, for you to know that people are just relaxing. They are just watching you. One day something will prompt them that will say, yes, finally, enough is enough. Our government should wake up.
You know, when you talk about youth getting involved in politics, there's this trend about Nigerian politics, which is money politics. You cannot contest without money. And as a youth who has no job, who has no, let's say, a good job that can fetch you the kind of money you need to invest in your political ambition, how do you think the youth can actually wrestle power from these money bags?
An angry man, is an angry man. Do you get it now? You know, when you continue pushing someone, pushing and pushing.
Because when you look at the past primaries, money to get the funds is number one. It's huge sum of money, which, you know, an average Nigerian youth cannot, if you're into farming, you cannot make that kind of money. And with the level of insecurity, most youth can't even access their farms.
Yeah, I get you. We are saying the same, we are on the same page. But the issue is that we cannot say because youths don't have money. There are a lot of youths that have money. Some youths, they have money. Only that many of them don't have, you know, they don't have interest in politics. Some of them, I can mention, you know, some of my colleagues that they don't have interest in politics, but God has blessed them such a way that in fact, people around them, they impact positively onto people around them. So we need to converse. We need to talk to these people. That's the campaign I'm doing. some of my friends, say, come, you have this, you can put resources together and do something. What we need to do is, you know, affiliate ourselves, you know, to some political, we have many political parties on board. Yes, we have the bigger ones, but I believe, just like David and Goliath, I'm sure you know the story. If you believe in the story of David and Goliath, you know that one day Goliath will fall and David will rise up.
And there's this consciousness about youth. So when they talk about the obedience movement, most of youth following that movement is not because of the individual, the flag bearer. It is the consciousness. And that's why I keep telling people the movement is bigger than the person.
The person.
We're heading now.
Exactly.
He has only come to lead.
Yes.
But the movement is bigger than
that. That is what I'm saying now. Somehow, any movement, any party, let the youth, you know, and join the party. Whether APC, PDP, let them have the platform. Because if you don't have the platform,
when you go there, don't go and sit there and start insulting your opponents.
Because one day, it will be your turn. So we need to start from somewhere. And what I'm seeing, the political terrain in the next few years will be a different ballgame. Because I believe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these men will go. Whether by death, whether by incapacitation or whatever. So, but we need to be building ourselves. People should not go violent.
And you think they've not arranged their successors?
It doesn't.
Now, when they step out, this person will step in.
People plan, God plans better.
Okay.
I believe I'm a faith person, but we need to balance between reality and faith. When you are a faith person, you should know the reality is that we all need to embrace politics. We shouldn't keep our hands on akimbo and start criticizing government on radio, on air, and this. We need to involve, all of us, we need to involve in active politics. So that one day...
And we need to go to the far from the grassroots.
So that one day, one of them will make a mistake and somebody will just emerge from nowhere. They just wake up and say, so person has become, how? That means God has come. God has answered our prayers. Somebody from nowhere that unexpectedly just emerged. Just like you remember, we are in this country when Goodluck Jonathan emerged from nowhere. Is that not? In the likes of Yaladua, you know, and all of them. Yaladua was from nowhere. I mean, the Goodluck was. So that is to tell you that it's God that determines, you know, the leadership, so the authority.
As we march towards the 2023, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I don't doubt God. I walk and I pray and I believe everything is possible. So we shouldn't relent.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts. Mr. Abiola. All right, viewers. That's the much time that allows us to take on this edition of Inside Nigeria. Thank you, Mr. Abiola, for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, sir, for having me.
My name is Taka David, your host. I keep a date with us tomorrow and you can drop your comments. We'll look at them later. Also, follow us on social media, drop all your comments. We'll look at them and then get back to you. Thank you.
This program is brought to you by Leadership Podcast from the stable of Leadership Media Group.